I'll just make a brief comment. Thank you very much for your kind invitation that arrived through Ben, who we didn't know and he didn't know us. And I thought that's very brave of you. And here we are. It's lovely to come and lovely to return. We've enjoyed the Taranaki now over quite a long time. My name is Donald Kingsley Smith, and as you probably realise, that we're related by marriage, one to the other, and that now goes on, has continued to go on for quite a number of years, and we are amazed and occasionally congratulate the other one for putting up. I congratulated Jill putting up with me, and here we are, and we've been oscillating on what to do and how to do it and all that stuff. So it'll be a mixture of talk and prayer and a prophetic word, and seen some pictures of stuff. So we'll submit that for your consideration, connect stuff back into the scripture so you can imagine that we're not just making it up. I do want to say we've decided that we are going to engage a time-honoured protocol of ladies before gentlemen, so that will be Jill in just a minute, that one. I want to honour the band and also Bronwyn. What a great welcome into the presence of the Lord in this space. And the I'm with the psalmist. I just love the place where the honour of the Lord dwells, and His presence is there, His power and His glory. And all sorts of good things can change if you walk into that atmosphere. And I just want to honour you as a church, because I guess what you'll make it happen. The leaders make it happen, but only really works if there's everybody there. Some of my background is in music, and I'm Salvation Army boy, so I do appreciate drums in church. Fantastic drumming this morning. It's just primo. And what a great band. Isn't that a great band? Can we give the band a congratulations? Yeah. So I was a boy in church in the 1950s, and my career of listening to drumming in church therefore goes a long time. I've heard some brilliant drummers, international class. I want to say, in terms of Irish drumming, you're right up there with them. And I want to honour you. Some people are aware that the greatest rock band in the world, they still say, is an Irish bunch of boys, Christian boys. And I went to their concerts in Wellington years ago, and they finished their concert, apparently all the time, with Isaiah 40. Right, comfort you, my people, and they'd sing it through. And this was this whole big secular crowd was at Athletic Park, thousands of us in the stands and right across the field. And I just think, praise the Lord. It's just awesome. So you can hear all these stories and gloom and doom, and I know we're in a time of great change and people are inquiring of the Lord, where's the future? But in a sense, the future is always the best place, is called following the Lord, hanging out with Jesus, walking in His presence. Want to honour you, Ben, now that you're back in the room, and what a great job to leading us to the throne of grace and worship today. And the anointing of the Lord is on you, and a word came to mind to submit for your consideration. I'll do it later. But anyway, here's Jill Marie Armour Smith, and she's going to bring the word of the Lord unto you.
He doesn't realise, but he just used up 10 minutes of time, didn't he? Great to be here with you guys again, and first up, I just felt the Lord really wanted to, what I was aware as we worshipped this morning was the smile of God and His absolute delight in you guys, the sense of Him being very near and very relaxed in His pleasure of you. His delight in where you're at, His delight in where your hearts are at, His delight in where you're at together and as individuals as well. And so I just want to say that in words. It's a lovely thing to have God near and smiling upon you. There's a sense of His favour, of His delight, of the kiss of heaven upon you guys. And that is a precious, precious thing, isn't it? And I assume you're aware of God with you like that. I hope that you are. It's a wonderful thing. The other scripture that came to mind in that context was it Psalm 133? How good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. And it's like the oil, the precious oil that was poured out on the head of the priests, you know. And the lovely thing is when we all come together and we focus on Jesus, he harmonizes us. Yeah, so we don't have to broker unity when we're all looking to Jesus and simply following him and allowing Holy Spirit to harmonize us. And I sense that brilliant positioning today as we were being led in worship, but in your journey, that as you've committed to follow after Jesus and to focus upon him, he's done this beautiful harmonizing thing. And he will continue to hold you in harmony as you just continue to do that. And so again, just the sense of his anointing upon you. And we know that the anointing was God's grace and power and enabling for ministry. But also it represents everything God is, everything Holy Spirit brings. It represents healing. It represents empowerment, you know, in terms of the shepherd, it represents kind of a detoxing and a washing away of the ticks, a washing away of the dust of the world and all of that kind of thing when the oil flows. And it's like we don't have to generate that. We come together and just keep that, you know. I just feel like the Lord says, good on you guys. Yeah, good on you guys. I've got you and I'll do the business, just keep coming, keep looking to me, keep following. I was going to share a word from Psalm 23 today. That was the word I was going to bring. So thanks, Bronwyn, she's done it. But isn't that good? Very efficient, yes. Saves some of my words. Believe it or not, I use up my words far too soon sometimes. Don's the one who has more words than me in our family. But as part of that, the kind of word, again, I don't feel like it's a prophetic word at all, but I trust that it's an encouragement and a confirmation and an affirmation of what you're already hearing from God and what you're already kind of participating in with the Lord in this time and place. And so two kind of images, two pictures, which I guess are symbols of a whole lot of stuff, that helps us to keep on unpacking and participating in what it is that God's inviting us into. And one is the picture of the oasis, and the other is the picture of the table. And I had such, a single word that I felt God wanted to emphasize with you guys, and when we were praying before, Ben already spoke it out and prayed it, is the word abundance. Yeah. The kingdom is an abundant reality because God is more than we can ever hope, dream, or imagine. His goodness is more than we can hope, dream, and imagine. And all the stuff we need isn't separate from who he is, his nature, and his. He is the resource that he wants to bring into our lives. And so God is here today saying, I am your abundance in every season. And, you know, when you think about Psalm 23 as being a journey, a following of the shepherd, I always think about the picture of rabbis calling their disciples as well, and the imagery around that was that they stuck so close that they were walking in the dust of the rabbi's feet, and that sense of the atmosphere of the rabbi, the following of the rabbi changed their look, changed their clothes, changed the stuff they were breathing in, and covered them, you know. And as you just keep close to the shepherd's heels and the rabbi's feet and allow his atmosphere to cover you, to coach you, to change your atmosphere and all that kind of stuff, he's making you guys contagious with his abundance. with all that he is. And isn't that so simple? Oh, what a relief that we don't have to generate anything, that we don't have to supply anything to this region, to the city, to our neighbour, to our family. We come into his oasis, to the green pasture, to the still waters. And as we become drinkers and delighters, as we pull our chair up to the abundance of his table, and as we do that together, the automatic overflow is out of our fullness. He spreads a table through us in the city. So two pictures. God is increasing the potency of your oasisness, and he is, you know, an oasis is its own ecosystem in often a dry wilderness place. Again, back to the journey, through different landscapes and seasons and weather conditions and everything, the oasis goes with you everywhere. You live in the oasis of God, regardless of what happens to the wider society, to the economy, whatever. We live in the oasis that God has provided for us. So I felt, again, the Lord wants to encourage you. He brings it as we look to him, but also it's our sensitivity, our response to him, our response to his word and his leading and all that kind of stuff. We work with him in cultivating his oasis in the city. Yeah? And I reckon it's the simplicity of worship. It's the simplicity of seeking his face. Streams of living water flow. Refreshing flows and overflows, and we get to delight in it and overflow with it. Yeah? Oh, don't you love that simplicity? And the table, he has prepared a feasting table for you, filled with good things, all of who he is, yeah, all of the goodness of his kingdom. It's a supernatural table that we come to. Again, stuff like worship and becoming aware of his presence and engaging and following brings us to this table. Simplicity and grace. There is an invitation that we respond to stop providing for ourselves and come to his provision. And eat up! Pull up a chair at the family table in the Father's house. Yeah? What a relief for the leaders of this church. Hey, guys, you don't have to cook anything up, hey? Isn't that so cool? We come to the Father's table. He's already got the next part of the journey for this church, for this region, for his church in a big way. And so, again, I feel like the feeling in the spirit is, phew. For you guys as a church, oh, phew. Oh, yay. Can you feel his amazing table here right now? Can you sense the oasis of his presence? The living water is flowing. Yeah? And as you guys just continue to participate in all of his provision, the specifics of what he wants to pour out and what he wants to feed you guys and the city will just take its course. The menu on the day might change. Yeah? Whatever, that's his business, and we tag along after him. Yeah? So again, that the oasis is a picture of a garden to me as well. And, you know, we are old and we've been through all sorts of seasons with church and ministry and all of that kind of stuff, different moves of the Spirit, different expressions of church and all that. But right now, this is a season of incredible grace. Grace and simplicity, clarity and trust. Yeah? God has made provision through you for this city and for this region in a special way. Yeah? And yes, he calls us to partner with him in cultivating and in hosting the feast. And I see the feast idea, table spread in the city, through you guys as being a picture you've probably had already lots. There's stuff about food, there's stuff about preparing a table, there's stuff about feeding the city spiritually and naturally and all that kind of stuff. And there's stuff about cultivating environments that are life-giving in all sorts of diverse and different ways. And we all get to participate. Every single one of us gets to participate. But right now I feel like he wants to feed you and refresh you because it's all out of overflow. Amen. So that's my little encouragement. I'll pass over to Don.
Just to say that we're planning to hang around a bit when all the formalities are done here this morning. If you'd like a prayer or a word or an encouragement or laying on of hands, the power of the Lord on your life, up for that. This next little bit, I just felt to connect in with some of the invitation from Ben was to say that there's some focus going on around the matters of the kingdom of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and te runga pai o ihu karaiti amongst you. And I think what better thing to be able to think about. And just for a moment, what else is there? And sitting in amongst that, and there's a couple of the gospels that record a question that Jesus asked a guy. And I think that that's an important thing for us today. But I'll give you a bit of a context, ask the question and invite you to ask the question. So it's based solidly in the scripture and it is the words of the gospel and it's Jesus Christ. But thinking through what is going on when the kingdom of heaven is amongst people, and the Bible records such things as this gospel gathers up all of the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. So it seems there's two things happening on. He does teachings and plenty of Christians all over the place hover around and gather on the teachings of Jesus. Then they criticize one another because they are not so good at it or don't understand it properly. But what he taught was kind of only part of it. What he began to do was a really important thing. And it can easily be summarized by the fact of the kingdom of heaven amongst, he was representative, he was God right there, but it interfered with people's lives all over the place. And it really annoyed some people. And I just love the phrase. I won't give you the clear one. You know the comment that Jesus makes to some people? If you continue on my word, then you are my disciples. Lots of steps. Then you will know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. And there's one person's actually put out a card and it's got some uncouth language on it. So I won't give you the real quote. But it says, the truth will set you free, but first it might really annoy you. And that did appear to be the case. So it niggles with you, it stirs things. And I think this is an important time in New Zealand. We're in amongst a thing that sometimes you see. We're under new management. And how that will look is different. And businesses do that quite often, put a sign out there, you know, there's been a change of leadership or who owns the business now. And it's usually given as a sign for it's all going to be better than it ever was, right? Now, what we can be fairly sure of, it'll be a bit different. And I think there's been a kind of a malaise, particularly as a result of lockdowns and international situations and trade and all the rest of it. And many of you are in industries that it's kind of hard to get supply, all sorts of things going on. But in the process of it, there's a lot of things going on in the hearts of men and women. And what the scholars tell us who research this, you know, what is the one main thing everybody's looking for? And the answer is it's same as ever, never changed. And if you want to know, that it's happiness. Everyone's looking for that. And just about everything we do has got something to do with trying to sort it out. Plenty of people go to work to have a job, to earn money. Why? Because they want to spend it, because what they think they're going to spend it on will bring them. Yeah, and you just go through everything that we're doing, just a prime motivation for everything else. So does happiness get in the Bible? Well, it does, famously in a thing called the Sermon on the Mount. Some of the ancient language lands into English, fully untranslated, one of the words being happiness, called beatitudo. And I looked this up because I was interested, because it didn't sound to me like a Greek word. And I thought, haven't we got a Bible that's from Greek? And no, indeed it's not. It's a Latin word, right? But it people have sorted this out. It's actually the third level of happiness. So there's a number of Latin words that relate to happiness, derived from this or derived from that. And then there's a higher level still called sublime beatitudo, which is really the big, big picture of engaging the invisible realm, the realm of the spirit, serving others and a whole lot of things. And that's the Bible's prescription for where it's all going to be. So anyway, back to the words of Jesus. Here's the question Jesus asked. And it's easy if you want to sort of check me out. You can key it into your phone Bible. I did yesterday. It comes up in two of the Gospels. So Jesus is out and about doing his stuff. And there's a guy starts shouting at him. And Jesus asks this question in respect to the shouting. And you might be in a situation where you think there's all sorts of things going on and there's a shouting coming at you or there's something rising up and it's all a bit distressed and so on. But anyway, Jesus pauses and says to the guy, "What do you want?" And I think amongst the City Life Church here, I think it's the word of the Lord in the room. Okay, everybody, what do you want? Now, there's a long version of that, so that's the short version, four words. The long version of it is, what do you want me to do for you? And you think, okay, who's asking? Well, God Almighty, the King of creation, is asking this. Who's he saying it to? There's a bloke who's been calling him names, shouting out from the side of the road, and everyone's saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. And he keeps going. And Jesus pauses and says, what do you want me to do for you? So just looking around this crowd, I want to say, a crowd of great folks here. And I think the word of the Lord for you, and you don't need to answer out loud, you don't need to answer for me, but I just submit it for your consideration. Hear the voice of God Almighty from on high. This is Jesus standing right amongst us. What do you want? I think this is going to track the life of you for the next several years, how you answer that, either today if you do, or tomorrow or the next day. It's actually a big deal. It's a big question. That bloke wanted to be healed, and he was healed. And some of this stuff is a bit more matter of fact than it first seems. We sometimes get very thingy about it, and it becomes a very big thing. So I just want to invite you and just lead a little prayer, if that's the right word, or just invite you in your heart to sit up straight or whatever it is that says, yeah, no, that thing that Don's saying, it doesn't sound too stupid to me. I think I'm going to ask this question and realise that it's not me asking, it's God saying, what do you want? And just spend a bit of a time. And don't get all kiwi about it. Don't say, oh, I don't know, really. Of course you know. And I might want to say it's possibly deep down and it's tied up in a few things and it might need some unravelling. I just love it, and I've got a word for the church in a moment, but just love it in the story of Daniel, where at one stage Daniel's there and he's called forth to interpret the king's dream and tell. And it's been a very difficult thing, and it's a life or death matter because the king's going to deal to them in a certain way. You might know the story. And he fronts up and he says, I have come to tell you, O king, what it is that you have been trying to think about. And I reckon that's a big thing in times of churn and change and sometimes confusion. Something's going on and we know we're trying to think about something, but it's really hard to figure it out. You know, what are the questions here? It's just churns around. But I think right now here in October 2023 is a time that really there's some breakthrough. What is it that we're trying to think about? And I think part of it is we're thinking about the future. We're thinking about following the Lord. We're thinking about the presence of God. We're thinking about perhaps a whole lot of things and it was churning around and we're trying to sort it out. Also, I want to pray a special prayer in a moment for anybody in the age range of being 60s, right? So we'll call it 60 to 69. Why is that? I just read a research paper earlier in the year from the New England Journal of Medicine, and they collated a lot of research studies, and they say that decade of your life is the most productive of your entire life. Now, that's contrary to our Western worldview, where they say you're a bit old. And you might be curious to know that the second most productive generation of your life is your 70s. I think, oh. So, and I think, well, who's saying so? Well, this is a really reputable medical journal. And they're not just saying so, they're pulling research from all over the place. So I think there's a wisdom generation going on. I think the things that some of the you do, we've been trained for years and years now, you know, it's all in the hand of youth and young people. But I'm clear that the church needs all the generations, and it's time to step up. So particularly I want to say to all, that, let's call it the 60-year-olds, and if you think, no, I'm out the other end of that. And I think there's wisdom coming out of the mouth. There's a number of things that I do these days that relate to stuff that my mum said to me when she was 96. It's just like, what? Very short comments. And so my mum was an awesome lady, and born in 1913 in between the First World War and the Titanic, so 1913, and died in 2013. So she was just a few months short of being 100. But age 96, she's still pretty sprightly, has all her marbles, and is a colonel in the Salvation Army in her own right. And I'm around there aged about 50, so let's go back a while. And just rolling out of her mouth, I was trying to think, I think I was 30, she was 37 when I was born. And she said, oh, and just looks at me one day and around, have a cup of tea, how are you doing, Mum? And she said, now, you should go to an old folks' home and play them the piano and sing to them. They would really love that. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting. File that away. And nothing ever came up, but a few years ago in Pukekohe, I got invited to do that because there was an old folks' home, and they were having big renovations, and the people were not able to be in the room for all day. So there's sorting, you know, if boredom's anywhere, it can be in old folks' homes. So I went. They asked me, would I come along and do some stuff, so we settled on a bit of a menu, and we would have an hour, and we would have 20 minutes of great anthems of the church, and that was fabulous, and then 20 minutes of film themes, sometimes there's music to it, and then 20 minutes of the Beatles, beautiful songs. So I got away and learnt this all up, and then they would do requests, and I'd have to learn some song that was famous in 1918 or whatever it was. One old guy, I do remember his name, I won't tell it to you, but he was 96 at the time. He said, can we have If You Were the Only Girl in the World and I Was the Only Boy? And I thought, I've heard that name. And that's a bit all, went and learned it up for them. But all about the wisdom that's coming through, and this is a declaration of the church. You're going to have a lot of people coming in here. They've got a lot of questions. They're trying to think about stuff, trying to sort it out. They think the answers might be above and beyond or in the spiritual realm. And I just see a lot of you hearing a question and thinking, now just a moment here. This is a connection of heaven and earth, and I'm supposed to lean into that question and think, what am I really being asked here? You don't need a big theological answer. Just need to engage it. Because they themselves are looking to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is drawing them, and they're going to, there's a lot of it. So, Lord, I just pray for all those who are in that age range of the most productive decade of their lives, Father, all the 60-year-olds, Father, that there will be wisdom in the house above and beyond measure, that the glory of God and the power of heaven would be amongst all sorts of things that are going on, conversations large and small in all sorts of contexts of this church. Father, that it would spread out much, much further than from worship gatherings or preaching or teaching of the gospel, but just all of the walking together in the side by side. Let your glory come in the place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to close up in a few moments, but a thing came to mind that I'm going to deliver in a moment as a prophecy to Ben, right? And it's Bible, and I think it's now, and it's part of the culture of the church as you're going forward, and you can take it or leave it. I submit it for your consideration. But as I declare it really over Ben, I think it's a declaration over all of the household of God that is connected with the name City Life. Biblical background for doing this. Many of us are raised Western world. We're raised individualists. We're taught at school in grammar, you know, singular, individual, and plural. So you personally, or speaking of me, I. But the biblical view is never like that. You are never a standalone person in the ways of the Lord. You are always part of the community. So in just declaring this over Ben, I just want to put it to you that it's actually for everybody. And it may well be that if you decide, I think that guy's right, or he's half right, I'm going to have a bit of a look at this, that I think the Lord will gather around you and cause you to just see a bunch of things a little bit different. So I mentioned the story, and I just want to declare, first of all, you are a man of excellent spirit. Where do I get that? Straight up Bible, spoken of Daniel. I want to say you all are a people of excellent spirit, led by a man of excellent spirit. And the glory and power of God will come amongst you for the discernment of dreams and visions, cause a whole bunch of stuff to be different and better for many people, because they ask a question of you and you are unable to unravel riddles and puzzles. And plenty of times people will put out some question out their mouth, and then that's not really what they mean, but they can't quite get to what they mean. And so there'll be times when you just know to say to them, and I'll just do it for you. May I lay my hands on you? So, new to me, there's a church group. I went to their preaching conference last month. And amongst their sacraments, so we would normally have two sacraments, one of baptism and one of communion. They have a sacrament called the laying on of hands. This is the grace of God coming amongst us. I thought, never heard of that before. Don't even the Catholics do that. So the hand of God, Lord, is on you, Ben, in a context of collective community. Power of God is on you, and you are already a man of excellent spirit. But as I declare it, the power of the Lord is going to come upon you for the solving of riddles and puzzles, and they will be things that the Lord is showing you in the spirit. Some of them are odd-looking things, and you're wondering what you're looking at even as you see it. And then right across the church, there will be a whole company of believers and seers and prophets who can discern the spiritual realm and can bring heaven to earth for a bunch of people who are seeking, or even sometimes half-seeking, or they're not even sure what they're looking for, but deep down, it's really spirit and the power of God. So it'll be a time that right about now, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water as the Holy Spirit rises up amongst you and amongst a whole crowd of believers that are based in this place. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing is on them. And actually, we pray that your anointing just permeates more and more, that the glory of God, heaven touches down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And Ben, I just saw when you were praying before, there's a really clear prophetic and apostolic call upon your life. The plumb line of heaven comes down upon you and through you. It's like a shaft of life, of light from heaven. And the clarity of the design of God within you and the call of God, the manifestation and expression of his message through you, is one of clarity and light. But also he's ordained you, he's created you, and he's graced you to host and to, with him, facilitate and steward and build a space that is filled with the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding. And there's going to be a building of this atmosphere, like the cloud of great glory, that you guys host corporately as you stay aligned with the clarity and the purity of the light of God that shines through Jesus from heaven. And it is something that will change the atmosphere and literally change the thinking of people around about you in this city and in this community. Don't underestimate the anointing that flows and the power of God to shift mindsets in a moment, because the spirit of revelation is upon you, the spirit of revelation is among you, and the spirit of revelation, the atmosphere of the reality of the kingdom of heaven, is going to build and intensify in clarity and power to dispel clouds of confusion, to even shift and expose demonic strategies and genders and crazy worldly worldviews simply by shining the light of truth and revealing the beauty of the glory of God and the way of Jesus. So it's a prophetic call from heaven to earth. It's about hosting the spirit of revelation. God is going to reveal himself through you as you stay in that plumb line positioning, that responsive space. Keep that light pure, keep that light clear. Amen.
Yeah, so what we, I hesitate these days to use the word prophecy, but the whole matter of the word of the Lord and the presence of the Lord, what I'm predicting is that this place will be a place of where the spirit of wisdom and revelation is alive. People will beat a path to your door. They may not use any of those words, they may not have any of the lingo, but they'll just put out some fairly brief short question. So in our background, we're trained in a number of fields, and some would be aware of this, particularly in social work or counselling, that whatever the person first says, that is the presenting issue, is normally not what's really going on. It's not that they're being tricky with you or deceitful, it's just they're trying to get to it, right? And it's kind of in there. But actually, it's the glory of the God being revealed that would just cause a whole lot of these things open up, and people will live free, they'll ride high, they'll be successful in their school exams and university. If they're doing professional work, it will be breakthrough. There'll be exemplary stuff all over the place. Folks in business will be prosperous and successful. And so this is not a religious comment that I'm making. I'm making a comment about the kingdom of heaven touching down amongst you and dark forces being dispelled all over the place. Parents will be enabled to operate their families with wisdom. Yeah, it still needs plenty of energy and you've got work to do and all the rest of it. But the joy of the Lord will manifest there. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, at the same time as the peace of God that passes all understanding settling. And I believe that you are actually a spearhead church group led by a spearhead leader who's going to cause a lot of this stuff to go forward, not because you preach about it a lot or you do Bible teachings a lot, but just because the presence and the power of God and the spirit of wisdom and revelation amongst you. And I think just more and more there will be a whole supernaturalness to what you're doing and what you're about. I think we've taken up plenty of time, and one of my favourite pieces of literature is Winnie the Pooh, and we've now done elevenses, for those of you who understand the language. Yeah. It seems a strange thing to do, but I just wonder, and Ben made the comment to me, has anybody got a question? If it's personal and direct for you, and maybe don't ask it to the crowd, are there questions sort of floating around? Yeah.
I just had a question. I was thinking earlier about the Oasis. Jill was talking about the Oasis. I was just thinking, pondering what we need to leave behind, if there's something we're needing to leave behind.
Yeah, I would say definitely yes. I'd say that's collectively, definitely yes, there's some things to leave behind. But I wouldn't do, here's the thing I'd suggest you don't do. No navel gazing to figure out, what it is that we need to leave behind. You know, forget it all. Set your course heavenwards, follow Jesus. Back to the Gospels, Jesus giving the four-finger hand signal to everybody today, saying, come, follow me. Oh, but what have I got to leave behind? Forget it. Come, follow me. And whatever needs to be left behind, we'll just get left behind because you'll be busy doing all of the new, different, better, awesome, great, joyful things. Yeah. Lovely, love your question. I did like that word you said a bit before about oasis-ness.
In response to your question, one of the other things I thought to bring, a word to bring, was about this shift that's happening in the spirit for you, but also for a lot of people. And one of the ways the Lord spoke to me about it was through the story of Joseph. In Psalm 105, there are a couple of verses talks about how when the Israelites when the famine came to Israel and the nations around about were in drought and famine and all that kind of thing, and it says God sent a man before them, Joseph. And he, you know, if you know the Joseph story, he was betrayed by his brothers, served in Potiphar's house, and then through false accusation ended up in prison. But see, there was a day when the prison door opened and he was called forth and positioned in a role of leadership that probably when he was a young man dreaming dreams, he could never have imagined. But through that whole journey of preparation, God had prepared him inwardly. And one of the first things that he encountered was his family who betrayed him turning up, needing what he could supply. And his response to them revealed that that the ministry that worked through him was the ministry of reconciliation. That he forgave. And a word that the Lord gave me at the beginning of this year was, just like Joseph, the Lord is lifting the pain of the process out of people's beings so that we can be free in the position that God has prepared us for, which will include the ministry of reconciliation and the supply out of his storehouse for people who are experiencing famine. So I think there is a thing like that, a Holy Spirit shift. We're coming up the stairs out of the prison of preparation. Phew, shake it off. We don't take the mindsets, the containment of the preparation journey, the wilderness process with us. We're entering into a season of favor and incredible freedom and grace, God's abundance that we overflow with to feed in a time of famine. Amen. Who am I handing back to? Bronwyn?
Yeah, that's really good to think upon. Right. Anyone else got a thought or a question? Okay. Well, what a feast we've had. A feast in the spirit and just a feast of wisdom and revelation and God-given thoughts to ponder upon. So we're really thankful. Thank you.